Hi, everyone. Josh Nason, WrestlingObserver.com here. Welcome you back to JNPO Classic. Weekly look back at the WJAM MMA show, a show I did for ESPN New Hampshire back in 2011-2012, meant to be a companion to JNPO proper, which I promise will return back in earnest here in the next next couple weeks or so. Actually, probably next week, depending on when you're even listening to this. Who knows? So yeah, we'll call it next week. Let's see. August 25th, 2011. This is the show that we are talking about today. And this was a pretty good show. Actually, it was a really good show. A couple of different reasons. Hurricane Irene was barreling down on us, and that was not the good reason. But we are talking about the UFC heading back to Brazil for the first time in 13 years with UFC 134. Big pay-per-view event headlined by then middleweight champion and kingpin Anderson Silva. And Yushin Okami was his opponent. Yushin Okami just got re-signed by the UFC about a week or so ago. Coincidentally enough, New Fox announced a one-hour debut show for their first ever event on Big Fox. You remember last week's show, we talked about how UFC and Fox had become an item, I guess you could say, TV partners. And yeah, they didn't really announce a date for the one-hour debut, but we talked a lot about the what could be on that first show. I'd written a column for Bloody Elbow at the time, and I called it. I actually called it that Cain Velasquez and Junior Dos Santos should be moved up from another event and move up to November for that debut show, as well as Benson Henderson and Clay Guida. Both fights did get moved up. However, only one made the main show. So I was pretty right. So it feels good all this time later to realize that I was right. You know, it's always a good feeling. What else we talk about? Warrior, the movie Warrior. I got to see a pre-screening of that. So we talked about pre-screening. Sounds like a doctor's appointment or something, right? We talked about Warrior. I gave kind of my non-spoiler preview at the time. If you haven't seen it by now, I don't really know what to tell you. And then the interview this week was a really fun one. John Anik. John Anik, of course, now with the UFC. But back then, he was with ESPN doing MMA Live and also doing some other stuff for them as well. So this was a good interview. We kind of talked about how he got in the business. Event day at Bristol, what that's like. If there's a UFC show, where does he watch it? You know, those type of things. And obviously some things had changed obviously since then, but it's kind of cool just understanding what the vibe was there for MMA back in 2011. Obviously what he was looking forward to, UFC 134. And we even got into a little bit of talk about kind of MMA versus boxing. That seems to be an eternal debate, the eternal discussion points. So we talked a little bit about that and, pretty interesting considering what's happened in the last month or so with Mayweather McGregor and so on. And let's see the other note I have here. So Brendan Schaub was actually fighting on that UFC 134 show against Big Nog in Brazil. The funny thing is, or the really kind of weird coincidence. So when we're talking about Warrior, PJ and I, my co-host, talked about Brian Callen. He is a comedian and obviously the co-host of The Fighter and the Kid, who played essentially the Joe Rogan role in the movie Warrior. It was kind of a weird coincidence that Brendan Schaub, who we talked a little bit about, happened to be fighting on that show that weekend. It just was kind of one of those weird things because now they're obviously a very popular podcasting duo. Okay, that will call it good from there. We'll let you get to the show. The August 25th, 2011 Hurricane Irene prep edition of the WJAM MMA show. Enjoy. The UFC returns to Brazil for the first time in 13 years, and we have your full preview. The movie Warrior comes out in just a few weeks, but we get a sneak peek. Plus, ESPN MMA Live host John Anik joins us. It's Thursday, August 25th, and the WJAM MMA show is live. Hey, everyone. Josh Nason, PJ Hewitt with you on a rainy hurricane preparing.
Get ready. Irene's a-coming.
New England night. Hurricane Irene is a coming. We'll have a showdown with it this weekend, toe to toe for the championship of all weather. Are you excited, PJ?
For the hurricane?
Yes.
It's been a while since we've had kind of a full blown one like they're expecting Irene to be up here, up this way.
There was supposed to be a big country music festival going on Saturday or Sunday at Foxborough, and they pushed that back to Friday. That seems to be the big scuttlebutt around these parts.
Yeah, you can, you know, there's a lot of people, I guess, going to start to plan their hurricane parties for this weekend.
I would, yeah, and it's a good weekend to do it for MMA fans.
Oh, fantastic weekend.
We'll talk a little bit about that. I'm guessing the grocery store is going to be a little bit packed tomorrow.
Oh, get your bottled water and your milk and canned goods and whatever else you can buy. Toilet paper.
It's as if.
Prepare.
It's as if people have nothing in their houses. The cupboards are completely bare, and they're like, we got to stock up on everything possible. Because you never know, you know, Monday might be too long. You might not be able to survive.
It's true.
So coming up Saturday, you'll be able to stay inside from the cold, wet weather with UFC 134. We'll talk about that in length. We'll also talk to ESPN MMA Live host and fellow mothership member on ESPN, John Anik. He'll join us in segment two. And then we'll also talk about the movie Warrior that comes out. I got a chance to go see it this week while PJ was working. Sorry, PJ.
I was very upset when you asked last week if I would like to go to a press screening of Warrior. I was like, yes, I do. What time? 7 o'clock in Boston. I'm on the air until then.
Yeah.
Up in Nashville, so I can't do it. But I'm excited to hear about it. I actually really, really want to see this movie.
And I have actually not told you anything about it.
You have not.
I have not texted or anything like that. So you're going to hear it for the very first time coming up in our final segments. But we'll start out with UFC 134 coming to you live and in color from Brazil, just the whole country of Brazil. I can't remember what city. Is it Rio? It is Rio. Yeah, Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, yeah.
Brazil this week. And the first time UFC has been there in well over a decade, I believe it was 13 years, was the last time. They have a card stacked with the local flavor. Out of 12 total fights on the card, I believe it was 14 Brazilians.
Yeah, it was over half.
And they have definitely stacked up the card, and we'll go through that, but so far they've had great turnout for all the press events, the open workouts, and so on. They were outside the open workouts, and there was in a rainstorm, which kind of made things a little bit interesting. But they still like a huge crowd. Anderson Silva was working out, and it's kind of like a weird story. Like, he got a lot of cheers, but he also got a lot of boos, which is kind of interesting. He takes on Yushin Okami in the main event for the middleweight championship of the world. What more can be said about Anderson Silva? He is not lost in, 5 years?
Since January 20th, 2006.
Outside the UFC.
Outside the UFC, before his entrance into the UFC, because he illegally kicked one Yushin Okami.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, so that will, he is, he's the middleweight champion. He's defended his title a record amount of times. He has a record UFC win streak. So he's the man. And he is that little streak there of fights where he got really boring, and there was a question of whether or not he would get cut, and there was all this stuff going on. He's come to back to back with knockouts. Is that a Vitor Belfort? I'm trying to think who was before that.
No, that was Chael Sonnen was his fight before that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So yeah, Chael Sonnen came the closest of anyone in his current win streak to getting him within just a minutes. You know, he could count down the seconds before he got caught and choked out by Anderson Silva. And Yushin Okami comes in, and he's been hot himself. I mean, he has won his last three fights, and coincidentally enough, his last loss was to Chael Sonnen back at UFC 104. Then won his last three fights, and he's the last guy to beat, I guess you can call it, if you can call it beat. Or, you know, Anderson Silva kind of lost by illegally kicking, but he caused his last loss to Anderson Silva. So I don't know if he's going to be thinking about that. Probably not. He, you know, I would assume he would say all the right things. Like, that was years ago. We're both different fighters now, and I'm going to go out there and give it my best, but I think I can defeat him.
So I don't give him any shot of winning.
No, neither do I.
Well, I mean,
but it's a good story. It's a good storyline.
It's a great story. He's going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
So I, you know,
a focused Anderson Silva, even an unfocused Anderson Silva, is still one of the best fighters in the world. And you saw a little lax against his fight with Damian Maia, you know, kind of taunting him, you know, that whole Dana White refusing to even put the belt on him after that.
Yep.
Came back, was losing heavily, lost every round to Chael Sonnen. At least in my opinion, lost those first four rounds to Chael Sonnen.
Absolutely.
And just managed to catch him, but that's why, you know, just waited, and finally picked his spot, and then looked very, very impressive against a Vitor Belfort, who was making his return to the UFC, and straight kicked him and knocked him out. Thank you very much.
And it was done. and thanks to Steven Seagal.
Thank you very much, Steven Seagal, yeah.
The man that adorns our Twitter feed. Twitter.com/WGAM_MMA if you're scoring at home.
I believe fighters with Steven Seagal at cage side are undefeated.
Well, in that case, Yushin Okami has double no chance. If there's anything. Listen, Yushin Okami, every fighter has a chance. But I think that the odds for Silva are, I think they're 5-1 right now is what I've heard in Vegas. So, I mean, the stats show. I mean, a guy like Anderson Silva, who's on such a big run, you know, Okami has won, but he hasn't exactly set the world on fire with his victories. And I think that Silva is in that zone right now that until he gets a good challenge, and I think this is going to be his last easy fight for a long time. Because if you think about the winner, it's expected that the winner of Brian Stann and Chael Sonnen will get the next shot at the middleweight championship. However, and a little twist got put in that mix this week. As you know, the UFC is going to debut on Fox on November 12th with a one-hour show. And the one-hour show is, they haven't set a card yet because it's kind of a brand-new thing. So one of the things everyone's asking about, what's going to be on that card? I actually wrote a column last week for Bloody Elbow saying that I think that they should move up the heavyweight championship fight between Cain Velasquez and Junior Dos Santos and put that on that event in addition to Clay Guida and Ben Henderson. And a lot of people said, well, there's no chance. You know, they're not going to move that fight and all this stuff. I'm like, this, you know, the debut on Fox is pretty important. It's not just a Spike Night event.
They really have to make a splash with their card that they put out there.
They're going from 70 million homes in Spike to 150 million homes via Fox.
They're
going to
want exciting fighters on that card.
Right. So this is kind of a 1 hour.
The Ben Henderson, Clay Guida, that would be fantastic.
I think that's almost a lock the way the things kind of get buzzing this week. However, Lorenzo Fertitta, the co-owner of the UFC, was asked about, you know, who he'd want to fight and some speculation there. And he said, well, we have to wait until this weekend and see what's going on. So what might be going on is that Anderson Silva, if he comes out of this fight unscathed this weekend, may fight a returning Dan Henderson on that Fox card.
Interesting.
And I would assume it would be for the middleweight championship, or they might do a three-round, they might do a catchweight fight or something like that, or it might do a 205. My guess would be at 185. And those two have fought before, and that would be a pretty big fight to put on there. So Anderson Silva versus Dan Henderson, what do you think? That'd be a pretty big fight for Fox.
It would. The last time these two guys met was back in March of 2008. Dan Henderson got submitted by a rear naked choke. That was at UFC 82.
And that was like a unification bout. Because that was when Pride was big. UFC had bought Pride. Henderson came over. He had both the middle, essentially the equivalent of the middleweight championship and the light heavyweight championship.
Yeah, it was a unified Pride welterweight and UFC middleweight titles.
Right. And he lost that title and he lost to Rampage Jackson, so he lost both those. Poor Dan Henderson. But he's on a great roll right now, so that'd be a great fight. So that'd be really interesting. So Anderson Silva's got some interesting fights. So regardless,
and to put the best fighter in the world on that card, I think would be great and a great way to start a very long partnership between the UFC and Fox.
Yep. And so if you think about it, you know, top fights, if it's Dan Henderson, if it's Chael Sonnen, if it's Brian Stann, he's not going to have any easy fights for a while now. And a guy that's, you know, he's obviously shown some dominance, but he's also, 37 years old. Every fighter at some point it's like the NFL running backs. They have that switch.
It's like they can go from looking great, looking fantastic, to really looking slow, looking almost sometimes uninterested, but yeah. And it just takes the right guy. You look at BJ Penn Frankie Edgar.
Yeah.
And Frankie Edgar came in, just outpaced him, outworked him, and beat him two fights in a row and made BJ Penn, who's used to making other fighters look bad, made Penn look really bad.
Right. And I think one of the things with Silva, it plays into his advantages. He hasn't been hit a lot. You know, even the Sonnen fight, you know, didn't come out of that all bruised up. He was taken down and, you know, ground pounded a little bit. But he, in any of these fights, he hasn't taken punishment. So that's definitely a check mark.
Well, he ends fights usually so quickly, too. Right. So he didn't even have time. Like
Griffin fight, James Irvin fight. Those were his two.
Last one against Maya.
Right.
And we were talking about how he lost those first four rounds against Chael Sonnen. But you look at Chael Sonnen, he looked worse. He was winning that fight all four rounds, and he looked worse than Anderson Silva did at the end of that fight.
So Okami has a shot, but Okami has to go with the Sonnen game plan, take him down, and I don't know. I just don't see it happening. So I think it's safe to say that Silva's going to come out of this with a victory, and hopefully comes out of it uninjured, and perhaps could be fighting in November on Fox. The co-main event is a very, very, very intriguing one. Two former light heavyweight champions, Mauricio Shogun Hua and Forrest Griffin, going toe-to-toe in the co-main event. Hua coming off that March loss to John Jones, where he got annihilated and lost the light heavyweight championship.
And he was coming off a long layoff, so I guess I can count for something or attribute to the fact that maybe he wasn't at his best when he came in to fight John, when John Jones came in to fight him.
Forrest Griffin coming off a victory over Rich Franklin in February, a decision victory. It was a pretty handy decision victory at that, kind of slow paced, dull in spots, but overall he was able to pull it off. Shogun versus Forrest. What say you, PJ?
I think Shogun is going to be a little bit more focused. He's healthy. He's not coming off an injury and a long layoff. Forrest Griffin, yeah, he has won his last couple fights, his last one you mentioned, Rich Franklin, but the time before that was against Tito Ortiz before Tito was, that was during Tito's long loss streak. And his losses before that were to Anderson Silva, we mentioned, and Rashad Evans. So Forrest is always puts up a great fight, and he's very, very tough, but I think Shogun takes this, and I think it'll end a little bit quickly.
Hmm. So this actually is a rematch. These two fought back at UFC 76, September 2007. Griffin, if you remember this, Griffin winning via submission. This was Shogun's UFC debut, and he was pretty highly touted back then. Again, another pride guy coming over, and Forrest took it to him. This is a real coin flip for me. I'm just kind of looking at Griffin. Griffin came off the loss to Rashad, Anderson Silva. Then he had a little bit of a layoff. He beat Tito Ortiz, actually had almost a two-year layoff, year and a half. Came back against Franklin. I'm going to go with Shogun because I think Shogun is really going to want to make up for that loss. I think that he's probably got embarrassed by that. He's fighting in his home country. And he's got a lot to prove because he came off that loss to John Jones and did not look good doing it. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Forrest wins. I think this is going to go the distance, all 15 minutes. I think Shogun's going to pull it out, and we'll see how he looks coming out of it. That's my pick.
And where do these guys go from here, whoever wins?
Good question. I think so if you look, I'm just trying to think of the title picture. So you have John Jones and Rampage going at it in September. The Rashad gets the winner of that, and I say that with safe bet.
Especially how good he looked Rashad's last time out.
There's the Machida thing kind of floating out there. I think, a Griffin-Machida fight could work. I don't know if Shogun, I can't remember if Shogun and Machida are in the same camp or not, or if there's, I'm not sure about that. That would be an intriguing fight, but then again, if they're teammates, I don't know if there's a kind of an alliance there. I tend to think there is. Top of my head.
No, definitely Anderson Silva and Machida have talked about they would never fight each other.
Okay, so then there's Phil Davis who's floating out there.
That's right.
That would be an interesting fight. I don't know if that's
That might be it. That might be it, too. Or Machida, he turned down, fighting on short notice.
Well, against Rashad.
Against Rashad.
Well, he accepted, then he came back and said he wanted more money and that whole thing. So that's that might be an interesting one, Davis. But then they'd be talking about pairing Davis with Machida. So I guess I don't know. I guess an upper echelon guy. I guess it all depends how good they look. If Shogun comes out and just tears through him, or Forrest comes through and vice versa, I guess we'll kind of have to see. How they look. If it's a dull fight, you'll be able to tell a lot at the end of the fight, I guess. And so I don't know where these guys fit in that mix. I say they're kind of that mid-level light heavyweight division, but a guy like Phil Davis might be an interesting pick. I would think a Griffin Machida fight might work if Griffin wins. So I guess we'll have to see how both guys turn out. Your pick for this is Shogun as well, you said?
It is, yes.
All right. So let's go to the third fight of the night, and this is also a very interesting one. Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira, the former UFC interim heavyweight champion, former Pride champion. Long-time fighter, lovable guy, fighting against the fast-rising prospect, Brendan Schaub. Schaub coming off a big victory over Mirko Krokop. It's kind of a dull fight until the third round. He cracked him and knocked him out. And he's been on a nice little streak, four in a row, I believe?
Four in a row, yeah. His only loss in his career came to Roy Nelson at the Ultimate Fighter finale.
That was a quick one. Nelson knocked him out.
Yeah, 3:45.
What's his last four fights look like?
His last four fights were Chase Gormley.
The epic Chase Gormley.
And I always have trouble with Chris Tuchscher. I knew I was going to screw it up.
Tuchscher.
Tuchscher.
Yep.
Gabriel Gonzaga and Krokop.
That's right. So Gonzaga and Gonzaga knocked out. Oh, no, Gonzaga was a decision.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. So this is his third step up in competition. Again, Nogueira has been on a super, super long layoff. He, let's see, his last fight was getting knocked out by Cain Velasquez in February 2010. In the first round before that, he defeated Randy Couture in a very close decision and lost to Frank Mir. In the second round, UFC 92. Back to December 2008, he was coming off a staph infection or had an infection.
You all right?
I'm good.
All right.
I get choked up. I get choked up talking about Big Nog. I think I know this is going to go, and I think Brendan Schaub is gonna knock him out. I think it's gonna be pretty ugly. Yeah.
I think so.
I think we try to talk ourselves into thinking that these guys still have a chance, and we look back in their careers, and all these guys' careers. These guys have fought forever, right? The Chuck Liddell types, the Tito Ortiz types, Randy Couture's, all this stuff. There comes that point, and we were just talking about it a minute ago. It kind of comes that point that everything just kind of like ends, and we think, oh, Vanderlei Silva's the other guy I was talking about. So he's the one I'm thinking about, like Vanderlei versus Lee. Vanderlei had been in this long layoff, all this stuff, and going up against a slugger. And he looked very old. And there's just something about this that's telling me we've seen this before. Schaub is young. He's got a real great streak going. He's won this fight for a while. He's kind of like, he's got that momentum. And Nogueira, I just, for some reason, I think that he's been through wars, right? And more casual fans probably have not seen Pride and how vicious those fights were back in the day. Those were like,
and he fought in Pride for a very, very long time.
Yeah, and those were like different rules, like soccer kicks and head stuff.
You can kick to the head when opponent's down.
Yeah, I mean he went through some wars, and eventually that stuff catches up to you. I think he's going to go the route of Vanderlei Silva, and I think he's going to get knocked out in the first round. And Schaub's going to look coming out of this. Again, you're talking about who might be next for Shogun or Griffin, the winner of that. Actually, that's a different weight class.
Yeah, it's heavyweight.
I'm thinking about the other Nog. I get hit in the noggin. So I think Schaub's going to win, but I think you feel differently.
My original thought was yes. I did think Antonio was going to have the home crown advantage. He's coming out. He's really focused. He says he's 100% healthy for the first time in years, that he's not going into a fight with some sort of nagging injury. But I think Schaub has looked pretty good and looked very good against Krokov, and so I'm going against what my initial gut thought was, and I think Schaub's going
to
get the win.
Oh, so I managed to convince you in just a few seconds time. Incredible. Incredible. But yeah, I think, Schaub has looked really good. I don't know. I'm a big Brendan Schaub guy. I think he's just one of those guys. He learned from that knockout was probably the best thing in his career, getting beat by Nelson, because And he hasn't lost since then. He's got better every fight. The competition's getting better. And he's really sometimes the guys will take losses one or two ways. Either they'll go down the path of doing the same things they did and just say, it was a fluke. Or they come back and like, I got to change some things. I got to switch some stuff up. So I think Brendan Schaub's going to look pretty good. Really quick, just going down the rest of the card, the main card. Ross Pearson, former Ultimate Fighter winner, takes on Edson Barboza. Luis Kane opens up the pay-per-view portion against Stanislav Nedkov. No real opinion on either of those fights. Spike Carr, Thiago Tavares versus Spencer Fisher. That should be pretty good. Husamar Palhares versus Dan Miller. All should be pretty good. Two Brazilian versus USA battles there. I'm sure the Americans will be over quite well there. and on the prelim card, going on Facebook, few fights. Paulo Thiago returns against David Mitchell. Rafael Assunção against Johnny Eduardo. Eric Silva versus Luis Ramos. That was a fight. It was supposed to be Mike Swick's comeback fight. Unfortunately, Mike Swick hurt his knee, and he's out of that fight. Yuri Alcantara versus Felipe Arantes. And Yves Jabin versus Ian Loveland in a battle of Canada versus the United States on the Brazilian card.
Does Yves Levine ref that fight for Yves?
That would be outstanding. So that's your look at UFC 134. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, ESPN MMA Live host John Anik joins us. This is the MMA show on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, The Game. All right, we're back on the WGAM MMA show. And happy to always, we appreciate the mothership being part of the ESPN family here. And Upper New Hampshire. We always like to talk to New England folks. because we are New England folk. And one of the best is with us on the line right now. He's the host of the ESPN MMA Live. You can see it every Thursday night at varying times, depending on what else is going on. But you can always catch it on ESPN.com. He is the man himself and also a movie star, John Anik. John, how you doing?
I don't know about the movie star, but I'm doing well, and it's good to be on in New Hampshire and good to be on with you guys.
Well, I say the movie star because, you know, I went to a pre-screening of Warrior the other night, and, you know, I'm watching the movie, and who do I see not once but twice, and I believe three times even, John Anik playing the role of John Anik.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. You know, it's interesting how it all sort of came together. It was last July where we filmed it at ESPN. Circumstantially, it was 2 days before my wedding. So it actually delayed me getting to the wedding. You know, I got married in Boston, so it took me, you know, out of pocket for an extra day, which the wife obviously wasn't too thrilled about. But it was exciting, man. You know, I got the script, and I had like six wardrobe changes. And, you know, I guess it's exciting to hear that a few of our scenes made the cut. And I look forward to seeing it. I haven't seen an advanced screening, but once it hits the big screen September 9th, I'm excited to see it. And, you know, all reports are that it's the best mixed martial arts movie ever made. So I'm excited to be a very small part of it.
Yeah, I tell you, from seeing it, it was awesome. The movie is not just a great MMA movie, but it's a great movie in general. So I think you're going to enjoy it. And definitely beyond that, you know, I know that, you know, being a big Hollywood star, as you're going to be, I mean, you're going to have lots of autograph requests and things like that. So I appreciate you coming on with us before the wave of popularity really hits.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, dude. Those would be the first autograph requests I've ever gotten. So I got to start somewhere, you know.
So let's talk about how you first started in this business of MMA journalism. I know you've been with ESPN for a while, and I know you were with Bellator before that. So kind of give the people a flavor of that, have not really known your background, how you got in this crazy business.
Well, I started like a lot of people, you know, as a sports writer for the Metro West Daily News, Framingham, Massachusetts. You know, I was on the wrestling beat for a while, so I covered high school wrestling, and, you know, for a while I was actually teaching autistic kids during the day, and then I was covering sports at night and in the afternoons. You know, eventually moved to Sporting News Radio affiliate in Boston, hosted an afternoon drive show there called the Diehards for a while, actually with a guy, Ryan Russillo, who you see on the Scott Van Pelt Show on ESPN Radio now. And then we started a boxing show late 2004, and that's really where I got the combat sports bug. Had the privilege with the Mouthpiece Boxing Show to cover about 30 HBO pay-per-views over the course of 4 years, and started splitting time between Boston and Bristol, Connecticut, started at ESPN Radio. And eventually, you know, got an opportunity with ESPN Digital Media shortly thereafter. You know, a lot of the guys on the digital staff were passionate about mixed martial arts, and they launched at the time what was a web-only show, MMA Live. And because of my boxing background, I sort of got the first crack at the audition for the show. And you know, really haven't looked back. I mean, never did I think that MMA would sort of be my calling or what I do with most of my week. But, you know, I wouldn't change a thing. You know, it's, as a Boston guy, you know, I grew up baseball, football, basketball was all I cared about. And I can honestly say now that, you know, MMA in a lot of ways has ruined a sport like baseball for me, just because, you know, it's just slower and it doesn't give me the adrenaline rush that MMA does. So I wouldn't change a thing. And it's just exciting to see, you know, what this sport has done, even in the few years we've been on the air with MMA Live.
Now, the UFC returns to Brazil for the first time in 13 years this Saturday. What does it mean for the sport, or for the company, rather, for UFC to go back down to Brazil? I know Dana White and Zuffa have been trying to get there for a long time, but what does it really mean for them?
Yeah, well, it certainly has been an initiative for quite some time, and to actually have it come to fruition is huge. And I think even Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta would tell you they've been a little bit surprised at the overwhelming response in Brazil, and I think that's exceeded even their best expectations, just in terms of the Brazilian response, not just the media that has turned out this week for some of the festivities, but just the way these guys really, in the last 18 months or so, even though Brazil, you know, according to a lot of people, is the birthplace of MMA, there's just been a huge groundswell of support, you know, really over the last year and a half, and these guys are becoming bigger stars, and it's becoming, you know, not quite soccer over there, but it's just becoming a huge national sport, and the UFC in particular is becoming so popular, and as you guys well know, they have plans of going back there in 2012 and beyond. So it's a booming economy. It's a great place for the UFC to be. Of course, it dovetails nicely with all the Brazilian fighters on the roster, and I think Dana White and Lorenzo got to be pretty happy this week with the way things have gone, and hopefully, you know, the fights live up to the hype.
So looking at this card, obviously there's the, you know, the Anderson Silva fight, you know, Big Nog is coming back. There's a Shogun Forrest fight. What sticks out on this, this card for you?
Well, to me, it's the main event. It really is. And I think that's what Anderson Silva, to me, is the greatest of all time. And he didn't necessarily have that distinction a couple years ago. And, you know, he's had his share of bonuses. I think 8 bonuses for fight of the night or knockout of the night or submission of the night over his career. But he has had a few stinkers mixed in there as well. And I think he's really in the best place he's ever been right now. I think he derived a lot of confidence from the Chael Sonnen fight, to be on the wrong end of a 23-plus minute beating and then to pull out that submission. I think that gave him a lot of confidence going forward. Not that he ever had any fear stepping into the octagon, but I think he's as confident as a fighter now as he has ever been. So certainly the main event sticks out to me. And also sort of curious to see what Big Nog, Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira, can do, you know, trying to turn back the clock against the up-and-comer Brendan Schaub. I know Nogueira still hasn't turned 35, or if he did, he did so recently. But, you know, he hasn't fought since February of 2010. And to me, Nogueira and the Nogueira name is synonymous with Brazil and synonymous with mixed martial arts. So curious to see what he can do with this showcase, to see if he can, you know, I know he's been a hot and cold fighter, to see if he can, you know, hit that hot button one more time and see what he can do against Brendan Schaub. And then, of course, you know, the matchup of former champions, the rematch, Shogun Hua and Forrest Griffin. You know, I think maybe the card has a lot of Brazilian fighters that the casual fans certainly aren't familiar with, but overall, I think the main card's pretty special, and I'm excited to see it play out in front of that crowd.
On with ESPN MMA Live host John Anik, and one question I wanted to ask was, what is your routine for watching events like this? I know that you also do some other work for .com and so on, but obviously you have a wife and you have a new child, I believe. And what's your routine for these fight days?
Well, you know, it really depends. You know, for a while there, MMA Live had a great presence at these events. For whatever reason, we haven't been on the road since Super Bowl weekend. You know, I have had a chance to cover a few fights since then and went to Toronto. But, you know, sometimes I'll be in-house in Bristol just in the event that something crazy happens. You know, I might hop on ESPN News or SportsCenter in the rarest of occasions. But, yeah, with a two-week-old daughter, I think this Saturday night I'm not on the schedule, and I'll be home, you know, watching the fights and trying to tweet some results as best I can. You know, the Twitter thing is so interesting because, you know, you see all these media members and even fans tweeting during the fights. And, maybe there are a lot better multitaskers out there than I am, but I find it hard to be tweeting and also watching the fights for what they're for. So I'm looking forward to having a quiet night at home and really immersing myself in what I expect to be a great night of fights.
So when you watch it at Bristol, I'm curious about this. Do they have they always get all the fight? I mean, how does that work? Is there a screen that like has the fights with all these other, you know, baseball games, all these other games going around, or what's the setup?
Well, there's a lot of different things. You know, we're privileged to each have our own little HD TV at all of the cubicles, you know, the 20 inches, whatever they are. So you certainly have that personal TV. But in a lot of the newsrooms, there are just a ton of huge HD TVs. And you can be sure that when I'm on the schedule, I make sure that the UFC pay-per-views end up on one of the big screens. You know, there are also conference rooms that just have walls of TVs. And if those are open, maybe we can pop in there. You know, oftentimes when I'm there, I might be doing other stuff, whether it's voicing baseball highlights or doing some other stuff on camera. So in a perfect world, I'd be able to just be there and watch the fights and then, you know, do some video hits after the fact. But it's a pretty cool scene, and I can tell you, I was at ESPN the night that Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva fought, and I stood up the whole time. And it was really cool that night to see sort of a lot of the ESPN sports fans that maybe aren't into MMA the way we are get behind that fight. And really, for me, you know, since MMA Live was launched in 2008, just to see the way MMA has been embraced internally. I know you don't always see it on SportsCenter as much as you would like, but to see the way just having that show has changed the mindset of MMA internally and has made a lot of these casual MMA fans or non-MMA fans have become big fans of the sport. So it's definitely a scene there on fight night and certainly fun to be there when big fights are going on.
Well, the UFC signed a big deal with Fox recently, a multi-year, multi-million dollar deal. How many new MMA fans do you think this will bringing this the number one organization in MMA to national TV?
Hundreds of thousands, especially here in the United States. And I think a big key that maybe hasn't been talked about a ton is just the fact that during NFL football games and even events like the World Series and the Super Bowl, you're going to see advertisements for the UFC on Fox. And I think a lot of sports fans who aren't even necessarily aware of MMA are going to be tuned into the product. And I also think the product, by and large, sells itself. I mean, boxing, in my time covering boxing, I found that the product oftentimes disappointed, you know, and didn't live up to the expectations. I think mixed martial arts delivers on a consistent basis more than almost any sport in the world. So I think people who tune in for the first time are going to really get into it. And I also feel like the UFC is going to make sure some superstars end up on Fox. You know, I'm not saying there's going to be a title fight every time they're on Fox, or you'll see a pay-per-view juggernaut like Brock Lesnar grace Fox, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if you see a guy like George St. Pierre on Fox in 2012, and that's pretty exciting, and I think for a lot of us, you know, Elite XT was on CBS, and that was sort of exciting in some part, but to see the unquestioned MMA leader like the UFC get on network TV is about as big a news item as there's been in terms of getting MMA to the mainstream as there's ever been.
Did MMA really kill boxing? Does boxing have any chance of ever coming back and asserting itself as to anywhere near what it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago? Or is it all been done? Is MMA just taken over completely now?
Well, I do think MMA has taken over, but I don't know that they're inexorably linked. I mean, I don't say that MMA is what killed boxing, and I think it's a popular statement. But I really think boxing killed boxing in a lot of ways. You know, greedy promoters, you know, and just a lack of new blood in the sport. You know, I feel like a lot of guys right now who are wrestling in high school and college, and even guys who are playing football, are sort of moving into the mixed martial arts. You know, maybe they dabble with Brazilian jiu-jitsu when they're in high school, and they're just the people aren't boxing as much as they used to, and there's only money to be made at the very top levels. It's just not what it used to be, and I find it hard to believe that it's ever going to get back to where it needs to be. You know, I remember when I was on the boxing beat, maybe three or four times a year was the biggest story in sport, and that was, you know, in 2005, 2006. Now it's the biggest story in sports maybe once a year, and I just don't see the trend ever going back in the opposite direction, unfortunately, because I like it, but its best days are behind it.
Ron with ESPN MMA Live host John Anik. And John, you've interviewed a lot of guys in your day, both on the MMA side. You mentioned the boxing side. Is there ones that stand out, both positive and negative, to you?
You know, I try not to harp too much on the negative. You know, there are certainly some fighters who are either less articulate or less willing to, you know, go on the record with stuff. And oftentimes, too, on MMA Live, we're taping early in the morning. Oftentimes, maybe it's the day before the weigh-in. So I try not to be too hard on the fighters who don't bring it all the time. You know, Frank Mir is a personal favorite of mine, and maybe he's the first name that comes to mind because he doesn't like to fly and therefore hasn't been to Bristol in several months, if not a year. I just find Mir to be very refreshing, doesn't sugarcoat anything. There's no filter with him, and, you know, I don't have much of a filter myself. So Frank Mir, I think, is a supremely talented analyst, a really down-to-earth guy as well. You know, Kenny Florian, obviously, is one of my best friends, you know, was at my wedding, as was, you know, Stefan Bonner. I think both of those guys are very, very natural. And, of course, the guy that we're going to have this week, Chael Sonnen, to me, I don't know that anybody, you know, has the gift of gab the way that guy does, and just his ability to sell a fight. And even if he doesn't always believe everything out of his mouth, I think Chael Sonnen's a huge breath of fresh air, and I'm excited to see him in Bristol tomorrow.
Well, you can see John Anik every week on the ESPN ESPN MMA Live, and a great show, fun show every single week. And you know, before you said that, you're a Massachusetts guy, I was going to say if you wanted to give Kenny any crap on air, so I want to give you the chance if you want to call out Kenny at all, or see, you know, we've had him on our show before. So any choice comments for your best friend Kenny?
Well, he doesn't always listen to me. You know, I told him not to go to Brazil. He's filling in for Joe Rogan tomorrow night. I told him not to go. Then he said, you know, the UFC's flying Keith out there, so at least I'll get some training. But, you know, he's fighting Jose Aldo October 8th, and I don't think traveling to Brazil right now is, you know, the best recipe to get through Jose Aldo. So I told him not to go. He doesn't listen to me all that often. I mean, I told him not to drop down to 145. He certainly didn't take my advice there, but he's a good dude. And, you know, he's more so than the money or the fame. I mean, really at his core, all he wants is to be a UFC champion. And I do believe his final opportunity is October 8th. And I would just like nothing more than to see that happen for him. He just wants it so badly.
And we do as well. How do people interact with the media dynamo known as John Anik?
Huh. Well, you know, I do a weekly chat that that I'm pretty proud of. You know, I when we started on 2008, I believe, you know, I might have gotten 50 questions a week, and now we're getting well over 1,000 every week. So we do a chat at ESPN.com every Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern. And hope you'll find me on Twitter as well. It's JON_ANIK. And, you know, keep doing what you guys are doing in New Hampshire, man, bringing MMA to the masses. I feel like in 10 years, this thing's really going to be where we all want it to be.
And you can also see him starting September 9th in the big screen picture Warrior. John Anik, ESPN MMA Live. Thank you so much for joining us and taking the time. This is great.
My pleasure, fellas. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks John.
John Anik. All right. Bringing the heat. That was good. I could have asked him a question like another hour. I love understanding all the, like, what.
Well, that's great. 'Cause see, we can always have him on again.
We can.
And ask him all the things we missed tonight.
Yes. And again and again. Maybe he can just drive up here and just do this show. Or we can just drive down there and we'll do the show. That would be awesome.
Yeah. To do our show live from ESPN Studios.
Why not? We'll beat the traffic. So that was a great interview. We'll be back in a second and talk about the movie Warrior starring John Anik and also some other people as well. This is the MMA Show on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WJAM. The Game. And back on the final segment of the WDAM MMA Show. Hope you've been enjoying the show this far. If you're joining us late, how dare you? How dare you do that to us week after week? But we've had a great show. We talked about UFC 134, full preview in the opening segment. Great interview with John Anik from ESPN MMA Live.
Can't wait to have him on again. He was great.
That was awesome. We asked him a ton of questions, and I bet he'll be on again if I have anything to say about it. PJ is pretty hard over there. I don't know if...
What. Excuse me?
Actually, sorry, that came out completely wrong. Delete. Anyway, so actually, if people want to hear that interview again and other interviews, PJ, where would they go?
You can go to WGAMthegame.com. You search under shows, look for the WGAM MMA Show. We podcast everything we do. You can also check out the blog, I believe now on our new website, WGAMMMA.com. Is that correct?
New domain, yes.
New domain, yes. And you can follow us on Twitter, WGAM_MMA on Twitter, and Facebook as well. And just look Facebook and search for WGAMMMA Show.
And I was noticing that PJ was tweeting a bit during Bellator last week.
I did watch Bellator live, yes.
What'd you think?
I thought it was very good. Yeah, I always enjoy MMA. I always get a chance to, whenever there's new MMA on, live MMA, That's when I can convince my wife to come downstairs and watch it with me. She won't sit down and watch like a UFC Unleashed, you know, or she won't watch MMA Live. She doesn't like analyst shows, even though it's a great show and I love MMA Live and I watch it, but she doesn't like that. She just likes watching the live fights. So whenever I get a chance to hang out with my wife to watch fights, it's always a good time.
I bet if she met John Anik, she would like him.
Probably.
And she'd probably watch it.
Probably not.
Oh, again. It was Pat Curran. Big leg.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to lose that fight. That was awesome. So Pat Curran winning the Bellator featherweight tournament, and we'll get a shot at the winner of Joe Warren and Patricky Pitbull, one of the Pitbull brothers. That's going to happen sometime later this year. But yeah, Pat Curran, nice work, young man. And so we'll talk more about that some other day. We're going to talk about Warrior. I'm like, what are we going to talk about? By the way, for you listening at the beginning of the show, we were speculating about Anderson Silva being on Fox. Dana White said today,
it's not
going to happen. He said, not on Fox. You heard the rumor. He's working on a main event. He can't tell us anything, but he's working on something different. So,
yeah, well, Anderson Silva is one of those guys. He's one of the top names in the business. They don't want to lose that pay-per-view money. They don't want to lose that.
Put it on there.
They don't want to lose that pay-per-view. He's too much of a draw. Same thing with Brock Lesnar. You're never going to see Brock Lesnar.
Or GSP
on one of those Fox. They're just two big names, and they would lose so much in the pay-per-view revenue, they're not
going to
do it.
I will speculate that the fight that they're going to put on there, they're going to move from a pay-per-view, and I bet it is going to be BJ Penn versus Carlos Condit and Clay Guida versus Ben Henderson.
Oh.
That's my pick.
I really want to see that fight.
Those are my picks. So I had the chance to go down to Boston, Massachusetts, and I got a chance, as we heard in the interview earlier with John Anik, chance to see Warrior, a little pre-screen that they've been doing down in Boston. and been doing this all over the country, but I was able to get the hookup. And actually, good news, we'll be getting some stuff to give away.
So excellent.
You listening at home right now could win some stuff from the movie Warrior. So that'll be coming in at some point, and we'll talk about that. So the movie overall, I would give it a big thumbs up. I thought it was great. It is a movie about MMA, but it is not solely focused on it. It's a backdrop of the movie. Kind of explain what the movie's about without spoiling things. I'm just going to tell you how it ends. So, it's based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So basically, these two brothers, right? One brother comes home from fighting in the war or from away or something like that, and he stays with his dad. And his dad was an alcoholic, and there was a broken family. And so the brothers kind of went their separate ways. One stayed in the area, used to fight in the UFC, was a teacher, like Rich Franklin almost. Family gets caught in basically the mortgage crisis. Their house is upside down. They're going to lose it. They're working a bunch of jobs. So he has to go back into fighting, right, to make some easy money on the side until things kind of get figured out. So his other brother, his estranged brother, happens to come back and starts training at a gym. And it's just this natural talent, just knocking people out and stuff. So they're both training, right? And there's a two-night middleweight tournament that's happening in Atlantic City. The UFC exists, but the UFC isn't like the primary organization.
That's not the organization they're fighting in.
Right, okay. Yeah. So one of the guys used to fight in the UFC and all this stuff. But somehow this group, Sparta, has 16 of the best middleweights in the world. I don't know how that's possible, but whatever. So
it's the magic of movies, Josh.
Yeah, so that I will say this. So through the magic of movies, there's a lot of stuff that MMA fans will have to take with a grain of salt. That's one of them. There's a pro wrestling style power bomb in one of the matches. every slam and takedown is like Rampage Jackson back in the Pride days,
right?
Like that type of stuff. So these two brothers start training, and they don't know each other's in the tournament or that they're going to get in the tournament till they actually go there, and just kind of like it happens that way. They're giving this away in the ads. Both guys meet in the finals of the tournament. Okay, that's actually given away in the trailers for the movie. How they get there is kind of the interesting part and the story behind it, which I won't spoil for you. But so Kurt Angle is in the movie, former WWE champion, current TNA wrestler.
Yes,
plays a badass Russian fighter. And does it really well. He's always wanted to be an MMA fighter. He's always talked about it. He gets to play one on in the movies.
A U.S. Olympic gold medalist is playing a Russian, all right?
Yeah, and he's the one that pulls off the power bomb.
Of course. Of course he is.
I believe it's also a belly-to-belly suplex against the cage. Every hit against the cage, it sounds like this just chain link, like old WWE steel cage type stuff. So that there's some of those things that I cringe a little bit. It's how they get to the finals, which is interesting, and the family dynamic. And you find these rooting interests. Like, you're like, well, I don't know if I'm going to cheer for this brother or this brother. And one becomes a little bit more clear, but you're not sure. The final fight itself.
They still allow you to kind of make up your own mind.
Yeah, they do. And you kind of, in your own head, justify kind of like, well, I want to do this or I want to do that. And it's real, like, it stuck with me the next day, especially Nick Nolte's performance. And I'll tell you what, if this movie gets... There's a reason there's some good buzz behind it. It's because it's a good movie, right? But Nick Nolte is like, I think he could be like a best supporting actor nominee. He was really good. He played the sympathetic figure. He's a father. He used to be an alcoholic.
Okay, so he's the father.
Yeah, so he's like an old boxing trainer and all this stuff. And he's basically training one of the guys. And it's just how that arrangement works is kind of weird. And then just how he's trying to get in these guys' lives again. And it makes you feel sad, right? Because you know where he's coming from. You kind of relate to the story. But it's that part of the story is really good. How they get there is really good. So for MMA, people in general will like it. And I was in the theater with people that there was a lot of women in the theater because it was also a pre-screening type thing. So people would actually write down on cards like what their votes were, comments on the movie and so on and so forth. So I was cringing because I'm like, these women are going to walk out of this movie. Because, I saw The Wrestler in theaters and people were walking out there like during the hardcore match. There's a lot of blood. I'm like, this is a very violent sport. Potentially they could be like, oh, I don't want to see this. No one left. People were clapping after the fights. I don't see that in movies ever.
Wow.
And people were like into it. They were laughing at right spots. They were clapping. They were really into it. This wasn't like a crowd of like MMA people necessarily. This is like just normal off the street people. So I think this movie is going to do really, really well. It comes out September 9th, and actually one of the guys in the movie, one of the brothers, I know his name's Tom Hardy, but he's actually playing Bane in the new Batman movie coming up. So every time I'm watching, kind of walk around, it's like, that's Bane. That's pretty cool. Comic dork.
Now, real quick, speaking of comic in a different sense, there's a comedian, Brian Callen, who I really like, who is in the movie. Do you know who he is?
Brian Callen.
Yes. Apparently he was playing himself, but I didn't know exactly in what capacity.
Okay.
In Warrior.
There was no... was there a comedian in the movie? I don't think there was.
No, all I know was what I saw on IMDb again. So apparently I have to just wait and see it.
I guess so.
Who were the announcers? Did they...
Oh, it was... the announcer was... It was... One of the guys was an actor who I've seen... Oh, he's the... if you watch The Hangover, it's the guy that runs the...
That's Brian Callen. So he is one of the announcers.
Yes, he's one of the announcers.
Because I heard he kind of plays like a Joe Rogan type announcer.
Yeah, he tries to. And there's also Sam Sheridan who...
And he's real good friends with Joe Rogan too. So he kind of... And when I'm not listening to old WGAM MMA show podcasts, I enjoy the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. Oh. And he's been on several times to say that... I thought that it was this movie, but I wasn't quite sure. That he kind of emulates Joe a little bit.
Yeah, he actually does a little bit. Yeah, that's actually a good point. He's on with Sam Sheridan, who's a great author, by the way, MMA author, wrote a book called A Fighter's Heart, and then he wrote a book called A Fighter's Mind. Actually, someone we might have on the show one day, because he's a really good author. So overall, thumbs up for Warrior. Go see it September 9th. We'll have some stuff to give away here probably the next few weeks. And so you guys can wear some Warrior gear.
We got to figure out how to give it away, too.
Mm.
We'll figure that out. We got some time before we have to.
We got plenty of time, but... big show this week. Awesome show. We talked about UFC 134. Thank you to John Anik for joining us for so long. Check him out every week. ESPN MMA Live. And next week, PJ, who do we have?
Big John McCarthy has a new book coming out. He will join us to talk about that, amongst other things. Can't wait to talk to Big John.
Follow us all weekend long on the WGAM family of internet sites. On,
yep, I'll be tweeting live during the fights. I believe you'll be doing some live blogging as well.
I think I'll do that. You can see us, again, go back, WGAMMMA.com for all that action. UFC 134 this weekend. Silva, Okami, Griffin, Shogun, Big Nog, Brendan Schaub, PJ Hewitt, Josh Nason. This has been the WGA MMA show, and until next week, keep that chin down and your hands up. Good night.